Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts, chapter 20 is where we'll begin reading shortly. But the title of this message this morning is simply Precious. Precious. If you look up the word precious in the thesaurus, you'll find it means valuable, beloved, dear, priceless, cherished, favorite, prized. And I would dare say, if I were to begin over here with my brother and work ourselves around over to here to Gary, all of us could talk about something that is precious in our life. Could be our mate. Well, obviously it's our mate, right? Aren't our mates precious? All right. A child. Or children, they're precious. Grandchildren, I didn't realize how precious grandchildren were until I had a few. And now that I have 8, I appreciate that. I believe, Brother Decker, you said you have 15. Anybody beat 15 grandchildren here today? None. So you've got the most. 15, that's amazing. How about your wedding ring? Is that precious? I do not have my original wedding ring. You say, Pastor Paul, what happened? Well, I was changing my oil. And I was changing it in a field in Arlington, Texas. Obviously, I drained it into an old carton of milk, and the milk was gone. And threw the carton away when we were done. And a few hours later, we realized my wedding ring was gone. And Don and I went back and found the carton, drained it out. The ring wasn't there. We looked on the ground all over. It's gone. But, you know, your wedding ring is precious. Or maybe you have a new one. It's still precious. How about pictures? Do you have pictures in your house that are precious? Pictures of family? You know, it used to be you had photo albums. Now you have them on your phone, and somebody asks you about it, and you say, I can find it, and 17 minutes later, they find it. How about your Bible? My mother used to sing a song, This Precious Old Book, and you may remember her singing that. It was one of her favorite songs. How about the gospel message? It's precious. It's precious. The church. Our church is precious. Gospel preaching churches are precious. Their value is beyond measure. The church family. And we always are excited about getting together with our church family. Friends, family heirlooms. How about a special vacation location? Vacation location. I realize how that would sound when I wrote it down. But special place you go on vacation. Memories. Are your memories special? Some can be tender and hurtful. Others are just great. Precious. Your salvation. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's precious. How about your death? Is that precious? The book of Psalms 116 verse 15 says that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Precious. How about your reputation? Is that precious? Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our reputation, your character, your name, your integrity. You know, there are names that are well known around the world. How about Coca-Cola? Think it's known around the world? How about the Ford Motor Company? Is it known around the world? Absolutely. How about McDonald's around the world? You know, for years we all shopped at Sears and or Kmart. They are gone. We still remember their name, but a name is important. You know, there are some uniforms and some things from sports that not only are known here in Michigan, but are known around our country, even around the world. The Maizen Blue and their interesting helmet and the design that's on the helmet, it's known around the world. Not that all people are Wolverine fans. I do understand they won yesterday, even though they only played half a game. But anyways, but our reputation. If you would, the book of Acts chapter 20, would you please stand as we begin reading at verse 17. Verse 17, Acts chapter 20. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Paul is asking the people in charge at Ephesus to come to him. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for men and women whose reputation is this, that they are servants of the Lord, who have gone after the high calling of our Lord. Lord, help us to keep our reputations precious. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated and we'll continue reading. Again, we'll reread verse 21 down through verse 28. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Folks, we need to finish our course with joy. We don't know how long we have. It says, continuing, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now, the sentence doesn't end there. In fact, the most important part of that I have read is about to be said, which he hath purchased with his blood. Sometimes what sets apart something that is precious is the price paid. 1 Corinthians 6:29, for ye are bought with a price. Here in verse 28, for he hath purchased you with his own blood. Do you like gift cards? Did that question catch you off guard? Do you like gift cards? Is there anyone here that says, I don't want to ever get another gift card? No, we like them, right? You know, we go out to eat at wherever, and we enjoy it. Maybe you get a gift card to Lowe's or maybe to Ace Hardware, and it allows you to go and get something. Jim and Louise Seaver have on a couple of times given us Visa gift cards. Thank you very much. Yes, and it allows you to go to different places. A couple of years ago, the Joneses gave us gift cards to Jet's Pizza. That was good. Yeah, I remember. But, you know, you can get gift cards. And I'm not hinting here, folks, please. Okay, I'm not hinting, but I've gotten gift cards over here to Golden Corral. Isn't that a great place to go eat? Their roast beef, folks, is second to none. It is really good. But the fact is that with a gift card, you're able to purchase something. A dinner, grass seed, whatever it may be. But we find in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He purchased our redemption, and it is precious. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." The church is precious to our Lord. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ does not stand to attention when the national anthem is played? No, he loves America because he loves Americans who need to be saved. But the fact is, he died for the church. He died for the church. Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall" what? "Cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Why should he cleave unto her? Because she's precious. We are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Back again in the book of Acts chapter 20, and we'll begin reading at verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Let me tell you something. I feel very fortunate that we were able to get a good man to come in to be our next pastor. You know, down through the years, I've known in many churches that the next man came in and made a mess of things. I've known on many churches where they said, "We just didn't know." But we know that there's someone coming in who's going to love the flock. And he's going to care for the flock. And Paul said, "I know that after I leave, that there are going to be people that will come in and they will disrupt the church." Continuing verse 30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Grievous wolves, not sparing the flock, was a concern that Paul had. Speaking perverse things to draw people away. Perverse meaning evil, wayward, unruly. And there are many in churches today that in the name of God are preaching damnable doctrines. He warns them, watch, be on guard. Remember what you've been taught. And he says, "Remember, I cease not to warn you." Folks, I warn you today, be careful in our world. Be careful, because it is running, not walking, but running away from the Word of God and from our Savior. For those who find the Lord of importance, there is an inheritance waiting for us, an inheritance. Another thing that is precious in his sight, though it does not use the word precious, but loveth, we find in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. It is precious in His sight when we are willing to give, and not just financially, but of our time and of our effort. Never forget that God is the most gracious giver. God the Father gave God the Son to die for our sins that He might redeem us unto Himself. What a thought that God would want us, sinful as we are, corrupt as we are, He still wants us because we are precious in His sight. And remember this, you can never outgive God. Reverend Sam Farber, associate pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, writes, "We give to honor and glorify God. We give to prove God because our giving provides the opportunity for God to prove His word. Our failure to give removes that opportunity from God, therefore limiting Him. We give in obedience to prove our love. We give to bless others. It's a precious thing to give." And don't forget what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, "It is more blessed to what? To give than to receive." We mentioned that our reputation is precious. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 39? You think your reputation is important? It's precious. Once lost, it's very hard to get back. Genesis chapter 39, we'll begin reading at verse 6. Joseph, as you know, had been sold into slavery. And then Potiphar purchases him, and he is doing a fine job in the house of Potiphar. And unfortunately, Mrs. Potiphar sees Joseph as something that she wants as a toy. And verse 6 says, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand," that's Potiphar, "and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he that committed all that he hath to my hand," or "he hath committed." Verse 9, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great" what? "Wickedness and sin against God." To be morally proper in the sight of God is precious. God calls sexual sins abomination. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Our integrity is precious. And I know we live in a society that is lewd and vulgar and sensual, and at times it's right down embarrassing, but we need to remember to keep ourselves precious in the sight of the Lord. We need to keep ourselves right in His sight. I know this, that there are temptations out there, and you that are in the workforce, you must be doubly careful because it comes at you from many different angles. And then there's the internet. There are the things that you can watch. I was told this by a reliable source that YouTube has as much pornography on it as it has anything else. Does that mean you have to be on guard? Please, please be on guard. Pornography is destroying America. It's lewdness. It's vulgarity. Our integrity is precious. The young shepherd boy, David, when he heard the challenge of the 9-foot, 9-inch Goliath of Gath, responded by saying, "Is there not a cause?" The cause of Christ is a very precious objective. It has a very precious purpose, and it has a precious goal for the believer. Our mission conference is coming at us very quickly, and one of the reasons we have a mission conference is just to encourage us to continue supporting the mission outreach of the Covenant Baptist Church. And how important it is that this church gives to missions, because there is a cause. Men and women are dying and going to hell. Our Lord, to the seven churches of Revelation, says, "I know thy works." That should scare us. He knows the works of the Covenant Baptist Church. He knows your works. He knows what you are doing for the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our works for the Lord are precious. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3:12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Our works are precious. Are we building upon that which is going to withstand the judgment of Christ? Dr. Schofield writes, "God in the New Testament offers to the lost salvation, and for faithful service of the saved, rewards. So once we have salvation, we should desire to do that which the Lord will honor with rewards. Salvation is invariably spoken of as a free gift, while rewards are earned by works. Folks, we all want to give something back to Jesus. Crowns and rewards that we can lay at his feet and say, thank you, Lord. Further distinction is that salvation is a present possession, while rewards are a future attainment to be given at the coming of the Lord. Yes, we want to be able to present ourselves to the Lord, but we want to be able to present something worthy of what he has done for us." Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." When I was watching my grandson Luke play baseball a number of years ago. And, when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I just loved baseball. Did you love baseball? I loved it. I lived and died. I would throw the ball off the house and catch it. I would play for hours with my brother Bob. We used to play one-on-one baseball. You say, how can you do that? It's amazing what you can do when you really want to do it. I remember playing pickle. I remember playing 500. I remember playing all the time. Just enjoyed it immensely. And here I'm watching Luke, and he's on a team with about 18 players. And the other team has about 18 players. And they really weren't teaching them really how to play, because everybody batted. All 18 players. If they got three outs, okay, fine. But rarely did they ever get three outs. 18 guys would go up and 18 guys would, get to bat. And then they would go out in the field, and somebody was out in the outfield, and he was sitting backwards to the field watching the traffic go by. And I thought to myself, they're not teaching these kids the game of baseball. And at the end, I said, who won? He goes, I don't know. And then he showed me his trophy. He was so proud of that trophy. And I said, why'd you get this trophy? He says, well, everybody got a trophy. Everybody got one. Folks, when we get to heaven, everybody isn't getting trophies. Not everybody's getting something. Oh, they're there, and that in itself is great. But we want to be able to give the Lord back some things that we have been rewarded with. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The lost will stand before God Almighty. The saved will stand before our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's going to reward us for what we have done for the cause of Christ. Because it is precious, it's important, and it should be something of concern in our lives. Precious. I hope you find serving the Lord precious. I hope you find serving him something that you desire to do day by day. Shall we stand together? 375 will be our song of invitation. Number one, we want to make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he is willing to give you that gift. But for we that are saved, we are working for the cause of Christ. Maybe today you just want to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to be better at what I do for Christ. Maybe you want to sit right there where you're at and bow and praise, Lord, help me. Help me to be that believer that I need to be. Dear Heavenly Father, as we end this service with the invitation, Lord, we realize that it's really not ending. We are still going out into the world. And help us, Lord, to be the testimonies we should be. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.